You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. We've talked about God's design for family in episode 2 and how God is a family in episode 3. If you haven't heard them, go back and check them out now. In this episode, the controversial topic of the day is authority and fatherhood. We need good fathers. We need reconciliation between the generations to see honor and life flowing again. But that begins with reconciliation to the Father. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to earth on a mission to reconcile us to our Father. Healthy, whole families need healthy, whole fathers. Let's listen in and learn what that looks like.
Welcome to the Kylo Show.
We're back.
We're back. And we're still talking about family. Imagine that.
Whole healthy families.
That's what we're chasing after.
Going to save the world.
And we're trying to help you be superheroes. That's mm-hmm. what it feels like we're doing.
Yes.
So, but we're talking about family still. We're kind of taking some time to do that. But really, we're trying to go after the heart of a father. And kind of pulling that apart and just even what the world's been doing to pull that apart, I should say, because they've been working hard at that, it feels like.
It's true. There's an assignment in there. You know, if you can discredit the father, I mean, if you can discredit our father, mm-hmm. then you can discredit all authority.
Which is crazy to just think about how, like, that's been the agenda since the garden. You know, just trying to, the deceiver comes in and says, here, look this way. Don't look to your father.
Yeah.
Look at it this way.
And heaven's authority works with trust. It operates off of trust. And so if you can destroy trust, then you cannot exchange truth anymore. Mm. Everyone's in survival mode all the time. Everyone's trying to look a certain way so they can get a certain something.
Yeah,
and I think it's Thomas Sowell who says, if I want to help you, I tell you the truth. If I want to get something from you, I tell you what you want to hear. And so when you lose trust, you destroy the true essence of authority and what it's there for.
Which I think of trust, and I think I've heard you say this, is it's the exchange of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of even a degree of feedback back and forth. But if I can tell you how I'm experiencing you or what I need from you, then mm-hmm. I trust you.
Mm-hmm. I truth you.
I truth you.
I truth you so much.
Yes.
Well, today, you know, we're going to kind of carry on from our last podcast talking about some of these aspects of authority. But today we're going to talk about fatherhood, patriarchy, you
okay.
know, manness.
Manness.
Yeah, that whole thing that has given us so much benefit and so much tyranny,
mm-hmm.
you know, so much brokenness. I think that when we talk about how the Trinity operates, there is this connectedness that happens through honor and when we lose the definition of honor, being powerful people working together to meet the needs of each other and the needs of the situation, we cast off the goal of honor, which is really to present unity, to present wholeness, to stand as one. And so I think that, you know, today what we want to talk about really is how God the Father has been assaulted, mm-hmm. and his name Father, being assigned to men in particular, has been assaulted by the same enemy.
And I mean, I think that that's the I love Meg Meeker. I've talked about her before, but I mean, one of the this YouTube I was watching of hers, it's a being a good dad conversation. And she talks about, she opens with how fathers have become the joke of the world. And kind of this, how every sitcom, you know, so she plays all these random shows, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, we can't eat here because dad's here because it must be a bad restaurant. Mm. You know, grandma's helping with homework, and dad offers, and she's like, no, honey, we're doing grammar. Mm. You know, like, that's out of your league. Or, you know, this ongoing commercial of this dad teaching his son how to throw a baseball, mm. but it's completely this horrible example. It's this very kind of like lofty toss of your arm. And I mean, if you know how to throw a baseball, is everything wrong with this? But it's just this mockery of any authority that maybe this man has of good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our whole opening.
Yeah. And it's specifically mm-hmm. that was easy for me to say, wasn't
totally.
It?
Mm-hmm.
It's specifically designed to detach the son from the father, the daughter from the father, the mother from the father, society from the father. It's an assignment that has in its design that if we can discredit that father
mm-hmm.
and eventually villainize that father, then everyone that wants to be connected to that father is a villain. So everyone shrinks away. And the reason that that happens is because authority, blessing, prosperity, benefit flows from the father to the son. You know, this is Jesus and his father. This is why he's making such a big deal about, I only do that which I see my father in heaven doing.
Right.
It's my bread to do my father's will. I will be about my father's business. All of that is to communicate that what flows into my life, the things that I have to give away, I got it through the strength of this union with my father. And so when the enemy comes in, you know, when the devil tempts him out in the desert, you know, he says, did he really say, does the word really say, is he, why don't you worship? I could work a deal here. He comes and he basically appeals to the same thing that took Adam out.
Yeah.
He comes and he tries to get Jesus to do the same thing. And Jesus said, I'll bow down to none but the Lord my God, my Father. I will fight you to protect my connection to my Father. Get behind me. Get out of here. Take a walk.
And is that because the authority he was under submission in?
He was weak, you know, he's at the end of 40 days, he's at his worst, you know, so to speak. But it's just because he's gonna beat him.
Yeah.
You know. Adam, I don't know that Adam saw it coming like that, but Jesus is fighting to get it all back. Mm-hmm. So he's got a whole another paradigm he's coming.
He's got another mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to say it. He's on a mission.
Well, and I think that's, you know, we've talked about that before, is that when in submission, there's a mission that you're able to give to, which is that what I'm going to love, what I'm going to protect. And, you know, it just feels like that's what it
And
it
there's
was.
A synergy, you know, it's not just your momentum or just your strength. You're actually borrowing from everyone putting into this. And, that's what we get when we realize that the Father in authority with the Son and the Son submitting to the Father is communicating, recognizing and communicating to everyone that the Father or a Father is a source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when Paul talks to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11:13, and he says, that God is the head of Christ, man is the head of woman, and Christ is the head of man. Now, this is the whole headship teaching that, I think took us down a not a great place. And this is why so many women are afraid of that word, submission, because that becomes the submission card.
Right.
You know, man is head of the woman.
Right.
And what that means to a broken man is the boss.
Which is what no woman wants at all.
Well, nobody really wants that anyway. Yeah. No, you know, nobody wants to feel the oppression of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to feel the authorization of authority. And so when we look at that word head, it's not boss. It's the word source. Or the headwaters, like the headwaters of the
stream.
You know, like we live by the Sacramento River.
Yeah.
If you go down there, that bad boy is just ripping through the city, right? But if you go up to Mount Shasta,
mm-hmm.
the headwaters where it bubbles out of the ground, it looks like a little creek.
Yeah, it does.
So that is the source that begins this whole thing that turns into this mighty moving body of water. Feeding the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the meaning or the concept behind headship is not roof, it's launch pad.
Which is not how it's interpreted at all anywhere
ever,
else.
Ever.
No. Which I think, I mean, this is the struggle, which thankfully I'm with Ben, I don't feel that I fight for him for, you know, that submissive place. Like I submit to him because I know that he's looking to our Father to lead me to be a source. Like there's nothing in our relationship that I feel that he's against me, because I mean, he's had good men in his life and he has a good relationship with the Father. So there isn't that going on, but that is not the normal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's what I meet with all the time with women, is that they're not experiencing that their husband understands his role and has a relationship with the Father,
mm-hmm.
to where, you know, he's that launch pad or source.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, and then that authority that he has isn't been abused.
Yeah, exactly. And so when we crash into brokenness,
mm-hmm.
in any authority. I mean, women can do it too. It's
yeah.
parents. Parents
right.
do the
yeah.
same
so
thing. They undermine their own authority by jacking up the fear and creating a survivor that they're dealing with. I'm going to teach you to survive our relationship.
Yeah.
So trust goes away, truth goes away, because you can't tell me the truth. You can't tell me how you're experiencing me, because I will punish you if you don't conform
mm-hmm.
to my will mm-hmm. and to my image, then I will punish you until you do.
Right.
So you are hiding from me all the time,
right.
or in a contest with me to be yourself in the relationship.
Which, again, is, I think, my example or experience of doing that is in parenting,
mm-hmm.
you know, and on my worst days, that has been the slip of just do what I say.
Yeah. Give me my way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's very tempting to all of us. Every one of us has those days, but that can't be our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that yeah. can't be my internal culture, or I will create it outside of myself. I will teach my children that I will use my authority to control instead of use my authority to train and empower.
So that's our role, is to understand how submission and authority work in the relationship of the Father, and how that manifests from my relationship as a wife and my relationship as a mother and as a daughter. In the wholeness of family,
mm-hmm.
and what I'm chasing after for, you know, really there's a string of inheritance and legacy that I'm trying to pass on by understanding what my role's meant to be
mm-hmm.
in this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the whole family, the healthy family, the families that are going to save the world from the current devastation that's on fire,
mm-hmm.
is that we nail this, that we get that there has to be authority that is established, and we do realize that there's a flow, there's an order from heaven to earth, from God to man, from man to the earth. There's very much an order to protect. There's a series of relationships that it flows through. So honor your mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Honor your wives.
Mm-hmm.
It respect your husband. Submit to one another. You know, it's just all over the place, but it's all about protect this flow from God to the most desperate, broken person. There's a flow of authorization to carry the Father all the way through this. And that would be why, if you're an enemy and you could disrupt that supply chain, mm-hmm. that's exactly what you would go after.
Hey, show promoter Christian Zamora here. And how in the world did we get to episode 4 and not talk about the book Keep Your Love On? That's where Kylo comes from, you know. Keep Your Love On, K-Y-L-O. Keeping your love on is a hard thing to do. Sometimes it's the hardest thing. But if you want to build healthy relationships with God and others, learning to keep your love on is non-negotiable. Adults and children alike thrive in healthy relationships in which it is safe to love and be loved, to know and be known. Visit lovingonpurpose.com/shop to pick up a copy or buy one for someone you love. This book has over 2,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Just saying. Go get your copy, like, right now.
So if the goal is trust,
mm-hmm.
and because that's what good fathers create, I'm going to guess that there's a lot of people that have experienced bad fathers,
mm-hmm.
and with that, the abuse of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
That's kind of how we got to here.
Yeah, and classically, it's either end of the continuum where fathers are too passive,
mm-hmm.
and let the children be harmed.
Yeah. Okay.
Or they're too aggressive and they harm the children. You know. So I mean, there's kind of a paradox there that seems to be pretty consistent. Passive husbands,
mm-hmm.
you know, allow their relationships with their wives to be damaged by something out there. And then there's the aggressive husbands who are doing all the damage themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's employers, teachers, you know, you just go down the roster there. I think that the result is that we are wounded. We're wounded by that role father. You know, we often refer to a father wound.
Yeah.
But it's classically coming off those two ends. Like my dad wasn't there. He was in his own world, wherever that was. Or he was all over my world and oppressive,
mm-hmm.
and abusive. I think that translates into, I am afraid to be my dad, so I go to the other end. And here we
right.
go. And we replicate the same mistake.
Well, and that's what I was thinking of. It's like, I'm so aware of the faults or the abuse or the pain, but there's not often a replacement as much as there is an avoidance. So mm-hmm. it feels like it just comes back.
A reaction.
Back. Yeah, it just recycles back to maybe it's a milder version or maybe not, but it mm-hmm. does feel like you end up back with the same thing.
Yeah, probably the famous last words to any guy is, I'm not going to be anything like my father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well, that tells me that you still have an arrow sticking out of your chest, or 10,
yeah,
and they all have your dad's name written on them. And
right.
pretty soon you're going to see your dad jump right out of your mouth, but it came through your bitterness, your unforgiveness, your resentment towards that wound. Instead of getting it healed and changing and being more Christ-like, you just reproduced your father's wound through your life and imparted it to your kids.
Yeah.
Or your marriage.
I've heard you tell a story of where that happened with you and me.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't remember what it was exactly, but I broke my jaw. I was crying or something. I don't remember exactly, but I just remember that reality that you had.
I don't remember the situation, but I do remember saying, do you want me to give you something to cry about?
Yeah.
And right then, my dad left when I was 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
but I remember those words in my head, belonging to him. Mm-hmm. When they came out of my mouth, I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What is going on? And that started me on a journey.
Which is, I think, kind of just this whole thing of finding something different, mm-hmm. which you have to get out of the cycle of what you're used to or know to search for.
It's scary to heal around your father's wound because it's not just you. It's generally generations that go back of that wound being passed through the men in the family. Mm-hmm. And there's momentum on it. Yeah. So it's almost like you are forsaking your family name or something to confront this lie that has ruled the men in your family.
And there's almost a pride in the, you know, this is just how the silk men are.
Yes.
You know, which
identity.
Is, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it you see it in all the different generations of, you know, being hard or unapproachable or, you know, strict or aggressive.
Workaholics or alcoholics or fighters, violent, whatever it is. Well, we're just Irish. We're Scottish. You're a jerk. And it needs to get fixed. It needs to be Christ-like. There's my identity. So is this Christ-like? No. Then get out the pruning shears because here we go. We're chopping that stuff away. So the deal is that the practices of a wound or Christ-likeness actually builds a momentum around the man, around his expectation of himself and the expectation of the men around him. And we see it throughout history. We see it through the Old Testament. We see it through our own history as a country. You know, there'll be this place of establishing a virtuous moral character that we expect from the people around us, or there'll be this destructive, selfish, violent warmongering that we create around us. Either way.
Which, I mean, it's just this, the cultural movement around how are we going to use this trust and authority?
Mm-hmm.
And so where are we at right now in this a little bit?
We're in a culture war, aren't we?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it comes from forgetting some things about who we are as believers, as Christians. And even, you know, if you look back at our founding fathers and really what they're trying to throw off is religion run amok, right? Mm-hmm. They have this oppressive monarchy church state thing that is forcing them to conform and serve. And so they escape. They just run away. Yep. They're like, we get out of here. And so they bring this Protestant culture that wants to be free to the Americas. And eventually they end up fighting a war. They build a constitution, a Declaration of Independence. And right in there is this, the essence of being whole, happy, responsible, self-controlled. And I think that, you know, it becomes a target. It becomes a target. I think we break down and we forget really what we're trying to do generation after generation after generation. And John Adams did this, you know, he's got this quote that I love to use. He wrote a letter to Abigail, and in it he says, you know, I must study war and politics so that my sons, the next generation, they have the freedom or really the level up to study navigation, geography, biology, so that the next generation leveled up can study art, tapestry, porcelain, you know, art, basically the creatives.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is to create a world so free that your children get to explore beauty.
Instead of in the midst of chaos.
Instead of having to fight for your life, you know? And I think that progression is really the heart of a father. Mm-hmm. That progression is build inheritance that you're, the next generation can stand on. And when we lose sight of that, or we allow a doctrine, a philosophy, an idealism to come in and attack that, then I think we end up with what we have today. We have the disintegration of healthy, favorable cultural momentum, you know, Christ-like momentum, mm-hmm. that's really about building wholeness, building prosperity into mm-hmm. what the next generation gets to. I think when we look at the word patriotic, mm-hmm. hiding in there is that word patria. It's a Latin word for country or homeland, and there's a stewardship, an ownership, a responsibility that comes to a man to take care of what is his. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
One of the key elements of masculinity, Stephen Mansfield puts it like this. He says, to own your field.
Okay.
Own your field. Tend to your field. Do a good job with what you've been given. Mm-hmm. Well, that builds momentum. If you do a good job with your field, you'll get more. That's a biblical concept. More will be added to you. And that is the heart of a father, which is, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to do a good job with my heart, with my character, with my thoughts. And I'm going to do a good job with my family and with their nutrients. Like, what do I give them? And then I'm going to do a good job with my gifts and talents and who they benefit and so on and so forth. Well, that's in the word patriot. That's in this word patriot, is do a good job with your land, dude. Don't botch this. Make it better than you got it.
Right.
And we are sitting in maybe the most stark attack of everything that has been built. Yeah. Through Marxism, through critical theory, the idea really is to tear all that apart and make it as if it was either worthless, never existed, or evil, and then train the children in that.
Yeah.
Train the children to despise their nation, their fathers, their heritage. Teach them and train them to separate from them. Mm-hmm. Back to, you know, separating from your father isolates you and makes you an orphan that's easily manipulated with fear. Mm-hmm. Well, if you get into the education system of a country and you teach them Marxist critical theory ideas, you train them to be afraid of, to be ashamed of, and to create distance from mm-hmm. their land, their field. They don't even know what their field is anymore. They don't even know what to do. They don't even know who they are. Why? Because they've separated from their fathers. So the momentum is gone. The catalyst nature of covenant is gone. And now you have a bunch of scared orphans scattered all over the place. And I think probably the greatest demise of our society today is that right there.
Which, I mean, I just think about the millennial generation that feels like it's fighting so desperately to not be their fathers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, associated anyway.
In any way. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I mean, I'm technically on the very edge line of millennials, but it's even the generation in my generation as well. It's like, it's just this progression of fathers aren't safe, and I want nothing of you, and I will do whatever I can.
And when you're trained to criticize your father.
Mm-hmm.
You go to war with your father.
Yeah.
There's no way. The goal becomes distance, not connection. And so there's nothing your father can do right.
And that's the part that I'm just baffled at, is that you're put in a position as a father that you are never going to be seen as honorable, good, or even your intentions are to benefit your child.
It's uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
The goal of Marxism and critical theory is you be like me or I cancel you.
Yeah.
I cancel you.
I think Delaney just told her youth pastor the other day that, unlike most of her friends that she could think of, she goes, I am proud of my mom. Which I thought was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. And it kind of, even this next generation is the breakdown and awareness of, I don't want to have a good relationship with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the normal, and that's what they're chasing after to protect.
Because my parents don't look like this. They don't support this. And then parents trying to save their relationship with their kids, they jump into it.
Yes.
They jump into this terrible idea, and they still lose it.
Yes.
If you want your kids to have a good relationship with you and others, we have a solution. Kylo for Kids. Kylo for Kids is an on-demand course for kids to learn healthy connection, communication, and boundaries. It was designed for kids 9 to 14, but your whole family's gonna love it. It has engaging, fun video lessons, interactive study guides, and there's even a teacher's guide. So visit lifeacademykids.com to learn more.
So the fatherlessness situation that we've got going on here is, it's enormous.
Yeah.
It's at a place where, you know, the chain reaction of the generations of fatherlessness are the uprising is
bearing fruit.
It is.
Yeah.
It is kind of creating chaos and new levels than it was times before. Mm-hmm. It had its own fruit, but now it's like just piling on, and it's just becoming crazy. So there's an article that we got, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And she does a great job.
Yeah. In First Things, Mary Eberstadt wrote in December 2020, an article called "The Fury of the Fatherless." And there's a couple excerpts here. I'm going to bumble through them as I do. I feel like one of my favorite things to do is audiobooks. Like,
so just be known that he really loves you guys.
Yeah. So I'm going to, but I want you to catch this. The essence that's hiding in here is absolutely brilliant. The whole article is totally worth reading. But I'm going to just do my best here to read through some of this, and all this, I'll bumble. Here I go. Ready? The explosive events of 2020 are but the latest eruption along a fault line running through our already unstable lives. That eruption exposes the threefold crisis of filial attachment that has beset the Western world for more than half a century. Deprived of father, capital F, and patria, a critical mass of humanity has become socially dysfunctional on a scale not seen before. This is especially true with the young. The frantic flight to collective political identities has primordial, not transient origins. The riots are, at least in part, a visible consequence of the largely invisible crisis of the Western paternity. We know this to be true in more than one way. In ways more than one. There's another way to say that. 6 decades of social science have established that the most efficient way to increase dysfunction is to increase fatherlessness. And this the United States has done for 2 generations now. Almost 1 in 4 children today grows up without a father in the home. For African Americans, it is some 65% of the children.
First off, you didn't do so bad, so good job.
Yeah, thanks. I bumbled around.
That's okay. You did great. But the 1 in 4 for me feels crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm envisioning you know, my kids' classroom photo.
Yeah.
Like their class photo, and to count 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah. You don't have a father.
25%.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's wild. What's interesting to me is how she begins to identify that there is this vacuum created by that lack of identity.
Yeah.
And now identity politics mm-hmm. is being swallowed up by the youth like candy because they're so hungry to belong, to identify with a cause, to identify with a purpose, with something meaningful, which is really the job of a father to hand his momentum to the next generation.
Which, you know, the moral pieces that, we've talked about before, what you instilled in me as a father of what I should look for in a husband, mm-hmm. like those moral pieces, those identity pieces are like stripped.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. This is what happens to gangs. You know, the fatherless young men and young women in a destroyed atmosphere, society, they gather around these people that act like fathers. They're leaders, they're gang leaders, and the hunger that sets inside of these young people takes them right to somebody who will provide for me, somebody who will protect me, somebody who will associate me to something greater than myself.
Even if that is
criminal.
So far from who the father is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's playing people against people by robbing people of what they need. She goes on to say, the institution that once anchored teenagers and young adults in paternity authority are in free fall. Christianity, to name one institution that has connected Americans to another generation and another, began a stark decline in 1963. That decline has accelerated with particular speed among the young. In 2019, 44% of Americans aged 18 to 29 were nuns. None of the above is the fastest growing religious subset in the United States. There is evidence that the loosening of family ties and the loosening of religious ties are linked, especially among practitioners of identity politics.
Which is exactly what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Knowing who your father is, the father, doesn't exist in, what does it say, 44%?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge number, and that's what's creating this civil war feeling in our culture, where we have half of the country who are trying to own their field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to build a momentum. They want to create an inheritance to hand to the next generation. And then close to half now who are saying, tear it down, burn it down, get rid of it, bring something brand new. Let's start from scratch.
Yeah.
There's a African proverb that I've been running into time and time again. And it says, if you don't initiate the young men into society, they will burn it down just to feel the warmth.
Wow.
And that's that lack of ownership. It's the lack of connectedness to what has been built and with a sense of protecting it. Because I think John Maxwell was the first one I ever heard say, if you're building something, include your whole team because people will protect what they helped build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and you're like, yeah, well, that's the young men. The young men have got to be included, initiated into what we're building, because if they're successfully winnowed off through a lack of fathers, retrained to actually despise what the fathers, in quotation marks, what the fathers have built, they will help destroy it, not help build it.
Which, I mean, just kind of thinking through what you're saying as far as like my... Ben and I being on the other side of that 44% are trying to create something of legacy.
Yeah.
And everything that I feel like we're doing, we know that there's a sacrifice. We know that there's a cost, but it's something that we can see past ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so every cost or sacrifice feels worth it. I mean, like, in this last season with Delaney, you know, my role here at Loving and Purpose drastically changed because it was the best thing I could ever do for her to be successful was to like stop all the things that were so life-giving to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben did the same in his way. And so it just is crazy to look at the 44% that is so driven by selfishness, but it's also been modeled to them from the fathers before them.
Yeah, this is the sins of the fathers. You know, I've trained you to care about nothing but yourself, which means when you pass, there'll be nothing that lives past you except your wound.
What is it? Your Mansfield's Book of Manly Men? Is that what it is?
Stephen Mansfield.
Yeah. Well, I've heard Ben quote this and I've heard you quote it, but it says, hard times make good men make good times make weak men, and weak men make hard times.
Yeah.
And so is there an element of the fatherless generation in this cycle?
Well, I think we're living in that, that strong men create, or hard times create strong men.
Mm-hmm.
Strong men create good times where everybody gets to relax. Everybody gets to be, you know, like, whew, holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that creates weak men who then go on to create hard times again. And I think we're in that. We've just come through a series of history where everybody's relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It's almost like the artists have taken over. You know, John Adams, like that third level.
What are you saying? Yeah.
It's like everybody just kind of relaxed and became very short-sighted in their own personal passion, their mm-hmm. own personal options, their what could I do for, you know, the people around me instead of really what needs to be done for the next generations. Well, I think probably a record number of people are not having children.
Yeah.
So they're not even thinking like that. They're thinking right here, right around me, this little bubble that I've created for me and the people who are like me. And that's creating hard times. We are now in a pretty significant crisis. We're in a battle between will we protect
mm-hmm.
what has been given to us in Christianity, in America,
mm-hmm.
in modern civilization, or are we going to turn ourselves over to a disassembling, deconstruction, critical of everything idealism that basically invites people to be enslaved because they are almost animalistic in their loss of identity, their loss of ownership, their loss of love.
Yeah. So it feels like what better time than to create some good men?
What better time? And you know what? This is the good news, is that hard times actually refocus us. They give us that opportunity to say, I'm going to adjust
mm-hmm.
to help solve the problem. I'm going to do the work to help solve the problem. I'm going to heal. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. I'm going to own my field. I'm going to think two generations. You know, the righteous
right.
man lays up an inheritance for his children's children. And each generation that does that takes care of each generation. And so I think that, the adjustments that the men around me are making
mm-hmm.
are exactly that. They're like, wow, I'm going to do the hard work. I'm going to heal this wound that I inherited. I'm going to lay up a godly inheritance mm-hmm. for my children's children.
Yeah. So, I mean, just speaking about the father, the wounds of the father, and even healing the wounds, like, what do you do to reconcile the child to the father's? Like, is it, you know, say you have an adult son looking at his adult father, but say you have your a father and have a child as a son, but you can feel this tension or the behaviors that you've picked up from, you know, how do you reconcile this so that we grow and move towards being good men?
Mm-hmm. There's so many aspects to that, but, you know, just in short, I'd say Kylo, you know, you got a Kylo, man. You got to keep your love on. That's the only way through this forest fire is you keep your love on, and you're going to get through this whole thing, and you're not even going to smell like smoke. You know, you're going to be like one of the three boys in the fire. And, you know, there's a protection in love. There's a wholeness. There's a hope. There's a courage and a grace in love. And I think that is what a man has got to determine. Like, I'm going to stay in love. That's what I'm going to do. And love isn't wussy, you know. It's not weak. It's not timid. It's not passive. It is powerful and courageous, right. And decision making and ownership, and it'll take you places that fear would never take you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you will do things for love that you would never do because somebody was threatening you.
Right. And I think, you know, we talked about forgiveness. I feel like that's another piece of really that forgiveness. And you know, I watched this YouTube video. I mentioned it before. This Meg Meeker about being a good dad, and I watched it with the kids and Ben. Mm. And in the beginning, it's showing how the mockery of fathers are. And then she goes through and she's talking about how necessary it is for fathers to be in the home, and giving statistics and so it's a 20-minute video, and the kids were all into it the whole time, which was awesome. And she talks about, you know, there's three questions that every child needs answered from their father.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, you know, what do you believe about me? What do you believe to be true about me? What do you believe who I am to you? Like, I mean, this is the questions that these children need answered by their father. The other one is, what do you feel about me?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you feel love towards me? Do you feel proud of me? I mean, she's listing all these examples of what this means. And then, you know, what are your hopes for me? Who do you see that I can become? What do you see that is in me?
Mm-hmm.
And she's giving the illustration how these are not made on the soccer field. They're not made in the swim meets or in the, you know, grade book. They're made in the day-to-day life at the dinner table. How you handle pain. I mean, that's where she's saying that these questions become answered.
Mm-hmm.
And so we watch the rest of this talk, and we get to where she starts showing what a real father is. And it's just video after video of children being reunited with their fathers, whether they've been absent for, you know, I don't know how long, but these children are just weeping and running to their fathers, or their you know, they won an award and their father's now placing it on them. And there's one where this little boy is sitting in the classroom and it's like a school play or something, and then all out of nowhere this dad appears from the side stage, and this little boy, who's probably the same age as Lincoln, goes running across the auditorium and leaps, and his dad catches him midair. And I turn around and I look at Lincoln, and he's just crying.
Totally.
And, you know, Ben's crying. The girls are looking at me. I mean, they're in the emotion too, but I was just shocked to look and see that my son, who is so far from being a dad, but this thing inside of his heart, because I've seen Ben instill it in him, and Ben turns to Lincoln and says, "You're going to be a good father."
Mm-hmm.
And then the girls are like, "You are going to be a good dad, Lincoln." But I just feel like there's this place of restoration that has to rise, that we get filled with hope of remembering what a good father is. And you have to fill your headspace with who is a good father. Otherwise, it feels like an impossible task to find whole, healthy families.
Yeah, and the dad has got to know that's his job.
Yes.
That's such a key. you know, they need to know I believe in them, mm-hmm. and I have nothing but hope for their great story.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All you dads out there, that's who you're called to be.
Yeah.
You're called to be good men.
You got this, man.
Mm-hmm. And to all the ladies out there, go tell your husbands and the fathers of your children that they are good fathers.
Yeah.
Because that helps give them courage.
Totally.
Because just like always, we're chasing after those whole healthy families. Because that's what's going to save this world.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. Next week's episode, Danny and Brittany will be talking about male and female and how there's unity in diversity. Never miss an episode by subscribing to The Kylo Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armerding with co-producers Ashley Beck and Anna Hill. And show promoter, me, Christian Zamora. That's all for this episode. We'll see you next week.